Matthew Bannister on today's Outlook.
Je t'aime. Be fair. I love you.
Finding a thousand ways to say I love you. The Malian scribe who's working night and day to compose Valentine's cards for his customers.
There are some years when we are here on Valentine's Day doing parcels and letters until 1 or 2 in the morning, long after the post office is closed. Sometimes it's so late we can't even get a taxi home and have to sleep here outside the post office until it's morning.
More on that story later. But first, demonstrations are continuing in Ukraine over the government's rejection of an accord with the EU in favour of stronger ties with Russia. The protests turned violent in January when the government brought in tough new legislation to end mass rallies. Those laws have since been repealed, but the opposition is still calling for new elections. Dmytro Bulatov is the leader of one of the anti-government protest groups, Automaidan. On January the 22nd, he disappeared. For 8 days he was missing, feared dead, but then he was discovered on the outskirts of Kiev. His face was bloodied and his hands were injured. He claims that he was kidnapped, tortured and forced to admit to being a US spy. He's since fled to Lithuania. I spoke to him through a translator from his hospital bed in Vilnius. We should warn you that this interview contains graphic descriptions of torture. I asked Dmytro what happened on the day he disappeared.
On that day, I had a few meetings and I received information that my bank account was arrested and I tried to get some money from the cash point. I saw around 10 people who were looking like a sportsman, and in Ukrainian media they are called titushki. It's the people who are sometimes hired by unknown people to cause some troubles, and that's why I stayed behind and didn't go to the cash point.
What did these people do?
These people were not doing anything. They were just staying right next to it. I was standing a bit behind from them, but then I felt a severe blow to the back of my head, and then someone lifted me and started dragging.
Where did they take you to?
They dragged me to a minivan. They put a sack on my head. I don't know where they took me, but it took them about an hour to get to the location.
Were you able to see where you had been taken to?
When they took me out of the car, they took me to the building and they put some goggles on my eyes, and inside the goggles there was some material that I couldn't see anything. So I was spending my time in there, all the time in these goggles.
Were you ill-treated?
On the first day, they had me lying on the floor and they put a dirty rag on my eyes and they were dripping water into my mouth and they closed my nose simultaneously.
And that was on the first day. Did any other bad things happen to you?
Каждый день они били меня сильно по голове.
They were beating me on my head every day, and these blows were very professional because they were very painful, and I could guess that they were very professional. After that, they were intensifying their tortures. On one of the days, they came up to me and told me to go on my knees, and they took me to one of the places in the room, I don't know what it was exactly, and they told me that they will crucify me now. So they told me to kneel, to get on my knees, and told me to spread my arms. And I felt that they had, perhaps it was a nail, and perhaps they had a hammer in their hand. And then I felt that they put it against my palm, and in the next minute I heard a bang, and it felt like that this nail has gone through completely. After they nailed my first hand to the wall or an object, then they nailed my second hand to the object, to the wall, and then they took a wooden stick and started beating my back, and they started just beating all over my body. And because I was nailed with my both arms, I couldn't move and I couldn't really do anything. The pain was so severe that I couldn't take it any longer. And I kept asking them to kill me because I couldn't take it anymore. Most of the time, I felt everything was going on and was going on to my body. I was kind of switching off for a short period of time. But then most of the time, I was feeling it.
And were you always kept in the same room? Was that the room where they kept you and interrogated you always the same place?
Yes, they kept me in the same room all the time from the day when I entered that building and entered that room. And after that torture and the procedure that I described, they made me speak on video and they started filming and they told me the things to say on video.
And did you agree to do that just to stop the torture?
Yes, I didn't want to prolong this torture anymore, and I was saying the things that they want me to say. They were telling me and giving orders to say something on camera, and these were the things like that I am an American spy, that I am a CIA agent, that I receive money from United States, but I only said it on video because I didn't want to take this torture anymore.
Did you get any clues at all as to the identity of the people who were doing this to you, from their voices, from the things they said to each other?
Эти люди говорили на русском языке.
These people spoke Russian with Russian accent, and they spoke about Ukrainians and activists and Automaidan and so on, saying, like, your country, your Maidan.
So what conclusions do you draw from that?
I can't be certain 100%. I can't say with a whole certainty. I can only guess that these were Russian special forces.
How did you eventually get away?
After the crucifixion, they let me sleep for some time, and then I was woken up, and they put a sack again on my head and took me to a minivan. Again, we drove for about an hour. They put me with my face in the snow and told me not to move and to wait till they drive away.
What sort of a condition were you in at that time? You must have been very badly injured.
When I was in that minivan, I was thinking that perhaps they're taken to bury me. So when I understood that they left me in the snow somewhere in the forest, the only thing that I was thinking about is to get to people. And I started walking, and then I saw some lights in the houses nearby.
And did someone take you in?
Да, я стучался в разные дома, некоторые люди меня испугались.
I was knocking on many doors, but some people were really scared and they would not open the doors for me. But I was in very light clothes and the temperature on that day was minus 25 Celsius. So I was also soaking wet, so I was thinking that I'm going to freeze to death. But I managed to find one man who let me in and then I managed to ring my friends.
Because you must have been in a terrible physical condition, so it must have been a terrible shock for these people when you turned up on their doorstep.
I looked worse than the worst nightmare. Mm.
So when you got to the hospital, what did the doctors say about your condition?
When I got to the hospital, the doctors said that I lost a lot of blood and that my condition was very bad. They stitched some of the injuries that I had, and also they gave me a lot of injections, so I managed to fall asleep. And also in Lithuania, where I'm taking medical treatment at the moment, the doctors also agreed that my condition was very bad.
When you are discharged from hospital, will you return to Ukraine?
I will not return to Ukraine at the moment because I am a wanted man and the criminal investigation is open against me by the Ukrainian authorities. And I can only return to Ukraine when this case is closed against me.
You're on a wanted list because you're accused of organizing mass disturbances in Kiev. How do you respond to that accusation?
Меня разыскивают за то, что я
I'm accused of organizing mass protest on the 24th.